Father God, I thank you for Pastor Jeff's life. I thank you for the message that you've been stirring within him that he was preparing for today. Lord, I pray that the ears and hearts and minds of everyone here will be open and receptive to what you have to say, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate the passage that Pastor Jeff brings to us, that we may understand deeper truths to who you are and who you've called us to be. And so, Lord, I thank you for all this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joshua. So, hold on a second, I'm thirsty. Wow. That is way better than water. Hey, we've been on our values series over the last several weeks. We've implemented four new values that we want to own as a church. And so, first off, we want to say that these values speak to who we are, who we're becoming, and where we're going. And we will act in light of them moving forward, so that we will only do the things that align with the values that we present to you. So the things that don't necessarily align with those values, it's not that those aren't good. It's just we're gonna align with these four, and we're gonna move forward in these four that we've chosen. And so they are: we will love NIAC, we will listen to God, we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we will invest in people. And this morning we are on that third one: we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this is how we've broken down the value. We say, we believe that Jesus changes everyone through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We will choose in to this ongoing process, believing that every change that God initiates in us is good. So let me break that down for you just a little bit. One of our values, kind of unwritten values, was that we wanted to be a church that's welcoming to all. All right, and so that's why we went with We Will Love NIAC. Not everybody in our community is a Christ follower, but we want to be in a place where everybody could be a Christ follower. So we want to be welcoming to all. So we know that when you come to Living Christ Church, everybody comes to Living Christ Church at possibly different points on their faith journey. And we want to embrace all of them. Wherever you show up on a Sunday morning, whatever your belief system is, you are welcome in this place. But understand that we have an underlying belief that when you interact with Jesus, the Son of God, he will in fact change you. You will not stay the same after having met him. There is some kind of shift that will take place in your life. So he changes us. So we believe that God does not want you to stay at the point at which you first visited our church, or became an attender of our church, or became a member of our church, or a longstanding member of our church. This is an ongoing process that he wants to change you. Not that we want to change you, that he desires to change you. And that change that he initiates is always good. The change that God does in and through your life is always a good change. It may not always feel like a good change. It may be rough at times as he shapes us and molds us into who he desires us to be, which is more like him. And so we want to change, but not on our own accord, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And so this past week, Donna preached to us on listening to God. And she had us interact with Psalm 19 as we looked at that God is speaking through his creation, that he's speaking through his word. So I took that to heart this week. I've shared several times with you that for whatever reason, when I get in a vehicle, I forget that Jesus is present in my life. Or I forget the Holy Spirit is present in my life. I have this problem when I watch sporting events too. We're working on it, all right? And so I wanted to take proactive steps. I was reading this amazing book, you should get your hands on it, called Soul Care by Rob Reamer. I was in Soul Care reading, it's taking me better part of a year to read this book. We use it in our Building Blocks discipleship process as well. But Rob shared in his book about how Whenever there's discontent in his soul, he knows that his relationship with God is not in one accord. Right? And whenever he's not preferring his brother or sister, that something's wrong. And so he took this Bible verse. I know this is really hard to see because it's right above my head in my car now. And it is Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but also interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And I put this in my car on Monday, and it has been hysterical the amount of times I have been cut off. I have had the slow person in front of me. We got in the car this morning, as God is my witness, we got in the car this morning, and Jordan noticed this for the first time, because generally when I take him to school, they're half asleep. But he looked over, and he saw this thing, and he was like, "Dad, what's that?" And so I started to explain it to him, how when I get in my car, I kind of forget that Jesus is a part of my life, and I don't act like a Christ follower, right? He needs to change me. And sure enough, we get down on North Broadway here, and this guy comes in front of me, and he proceeds to go 10 miles an hour, slower than the speed limit, the whole way here to church. And I'll tell you, every bit of that ride, I'm rolling over this verse in my head, because I've just told my child, God wants us to be Christ followers at all times, not just when the times that are convenient for us. And so now I can either be a living proof that God is at work in my life, or I can be a big old fat hypocrite. And I have to tell you, it was hard. It was difficult this morning. I was like, internally, why are your brakes on? We can go a little bit quicker. I'd like to get to church and pray for people. What's wrong with you? You see the problem there? God wants to change us. Why? Because we're in need of changing. And I'm telling you, we cannot do it in our own strength. We just cannot. We need the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, it's page 1046 on the Pew Bible in front of you. If you have an app on your phone, pull your app out. If you have your own Bible, awesome, that's great. But we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. And these are the three things I want to look at as we're looking at this passage of Scripture. Who is the Holy Spirit? Where is He? And why did He come? I want to look at those three things this morning from this passage of Scripture. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. And listen along as I read, or follow along in, with the Bible in front of you. "If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has not no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come, let us leave. So first, I want to look at who the Holy Spirit is. And in so doing, we need a little context for this passage of Scripture, the first of which is that this, when Jesus said this to the disciples, it was sometime during the last week of his life, most likely during the during his last meal with them. Jesus is about to fulfill his mission for which he came, and that was to die on the cross, be raised again for you and for me in order to restore our relationship back with God the Father. He is giving the disciples who have followed him for over 3 years this last bit of encouragement, and that last bit of encouragement rings true to this very day. So, first of all, Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit as a him. He is a person. So, when we say he's the Holy Ghost, sometimes he's referred to as the Holy Ghost, that is out of context, really. He is a person. He's not an it. He's not an entity. He is a person. He is the third person in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is given to us, Scripture tells us here in verses 16 and 25. He's given to us by God the Father. He is referred to here as the Spirit of Truth. He's referred to all different kinds of things in Scripture in regards to the Spirit of Truth, the sevenfold Spirit, the Holy Spirit, all different ways in Scripture. Here he's referred to as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit who owns and holds all truth is the connotation here. All the truth that you need for life is found in and through him. And then here in the Pew Bible, he's mentioned as counselor. If you have the app, the Bible app, oftentimes it will say advocate. They're interchangeable. That word there really means he's a helper, counselor for the defense, intercessor, aid. There's all different kinds of ways that the Holy Spirit impacts our life. And we'll talk more about him when we do the why. But when I got stuck this week on this thing, the advocate. Just thinking about God as the advocate. And I don't know if you have any siblings in your life, but I grew up with four brothers. And it's really good sometimes to have an older brother, and then sometimes not so good. Because there's something about us that desires to enact physical and hurtful pain on those younger than us. I mean, just me. I don't know about you, but, you know, that's how I grew up. And but whenever a situation arises at which you need the defense, it's really good to have four brothers. It's really good to have an older brother. This is my older brother, Tim, here in the middle. He was able to visit 2 years ago when my brother Matt and my sister-in-law Tina got married. And this is Tim. What was really cool is growing up, we talk about this now, he beat the tar out of me like on a pretty regular basis, and that's really cool. No, it's not. We've talked about this. We've sought counseling together. But when I got to high school, he was 2 years older than me. And I'll never forget my freshman year of high school. The town in which we lived in, there was two high schools and two middle schools. And if you went to one middle school, you generally went to this one high school. And if you went to one middle school, you generally went to one high school. But where we lived was kind of on the border. So we went to this middle school and then went to this high school. And so when we got to high school, we almost knew nobody except for the people in our development. But I had an older brother. And when I went to school, I can remember sitting in math class, and I wanted some friends. So I started interacting with the kid next to me. For several weeks, things were really good. We were helping each other in math class. And then I turned and I knocked his pen off his desk and it kind of went flying. And he turns and he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to kill you. Man, those things don't add up. I knocked your pen on the ground. I don't care. You did that. You're trying to make fun of me. You're trying to make a fool out of me in front of the teacher. And I'm like, whoa, time out. I'll get the, and I got up and I walked over and I picked up the pen and I brought it back to him. I'm like, man, I'm really sorry. And he's like, after school, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, whoa. I ran into my brother Tim in the hallway and I told him about it. And he goes, don't worry about it. All right. Don't worry about it. Now, Tim had football after school and wasn't going to take the bus home, but I was going to take the bus home, so I had to go stand in the bus line and wait for this kid to come kill me. And I see him walking, and he's walking right at me, and he's getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And I'm like, we're about the same size. I really don't know how to fight. This probably isn't going to go well. And all of a sudden, the whole countenance on his face began to change as he got closer to me. And then he stopped. And he goes, yeah, my bad. And he turned around and walked away. And I turned around to get on the bus, and there was my brother with four of his friends. And my brother was like this. And he's not a little guy. You know what's awesome about God? Dude, he is way better of an advocate than an older brother. He wants to walk alongside you through every hurt and pain that this world has to offer. He wants to give the devil of your soul a big old fat black eye. He is the best advocate. That word advocate doesn't even begin to paint him justice. That's who he is. Let's talk about where he is. In John chapter 14, verse 16, three things are listed here, and they're mentioned throughout the rest of Scripture, that he is with you, and he will be in you forever. With you, in you forever. Now, my brother came to my defense most of my high school life. I had one time my freshman year, somebody offered me drugs. And then the next 20 interactions that I had with them, hello, Mr. Salveson, never another mention about drugs ever again. I found out 12 years later that my brother had gone up to him and said, if you ever offer my brother drugs again, I will end your life. And I didn't have to worry about it. Now, my brother is a physical person who is bound by space and time. And the Holy Spirit is a person who is not. So it doesn't matter where you go, where you are, I will be with you. Not only that, I will be in you, not just for now, not just for tomorrow, but forever. Stop for a second and think about that. There are places of worship all over this planet, and that you can go to a temple and worship a deity. But when we're interacting with the God who created us, the God of the universe, it doesn't matter where we go, he is with us. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to come here to worship God. He is with you here and there and everywhere. Let me paint this picture for you. Several years ago, I was visiting Russia. And we were taking this trip, and you know, we had interpreters with us, but oftentimes, like, I didn't have any clue what was going on and where we were going, because I'd end up in a car with somebody who didn't speak English, and I really, really wanted to know Russian, because I wanted to know what was going on, because I needed to know what's going on, because I didn't want to, like, I don't want to be afraid. And so we're driving along a road. This isn't, but it's similar to this. I didn't have pictures of this because I was too scared to take a picture, But just kind of, maybe you've ever been on a road like this before, a dusty, dirty road, right? And you can't really tell here, but imagine those rocks are just a little bit bigger. And you're in a nice, sturdy vehicle, but as you're going, those wheels are turning, and those big gravel rocks are getting spit out, and you're sliding like this, right? For 5 miles. And you can't go 60 miles, you could go 60 miles an hour and you die, but you can't. And literally, as we're riding, on the right-hand side is just like a drop-off, like in the middle, like, hello. And there's trees, and all I can think of is, man, we don't catch a stone, and we're fishtailing off of this thing, and we're wrapped around a tree, and my parents are like, he's never going on a trip ever again because I'm dead. And they got trees on the right-hand side, and it's scary. I mean, the whole ride out, and the dust is coming up from the car in front of you, right? And somehow making its way in your vehicle, so it becomes very difficult to see and to breathe and focus. And I have allergies, and I'm sneezing, and my nose is runny, and there's a little five-year-old with us, and he's crying. Why? Because he's afraid. And in my terror state, I put my hand on him, and I said, it's all right, buddy. We're going to be okay. We get to the top of that cliff, and this is what we see. The Caucasus Mountains. And we get to sit on like this overhang and just look out at that. And all I could think was, the earth declares the glory of God. Maybe you can't, but when I look at this, I can't help but think, God, you are stinking awesome. You are amazing. You are so cool. Now, I find this pattern at work in me. When life gets tough, when the road and the gravel in life is hard, and the smoke and the dust begins to fill the cabin, this thing in life called fear takes on. And I call out to Daddy Jesus, please help me. I don't want to be afraid anymore. But the same God who follows us through life on the dusty journey road of life is the same God who sits with us on the mountaintop. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will be with you in the hard times, and he will be with you in the good times. And we cannot just celebrate him in the good times because he is with us in the bad times, even when we cannot see him. And the cabin of the car of life is filled with dust and debris, and we're fearful about what this life has to offer. But he is present, he is here, he is with you and in you, the Word of God says. So with that in mind, what does he do? Why is he here with us and in us? And what is his role? In John chapter 14, he is described as the counselor, the advocate. He will be our helper. This is what that looks like. Literally, the connotation or one of the definitions is defense counselor. In this thing called life, he sits on our right side as our legal counsel in this world. He's the legal assistant in our life. This world, through sin, is in decay and falling apart, but the author of life also sits at our right side as our advocate for this life that we live in. Not only that, he is our intercessor. He comes to us in our time of need. He is present. Just this last week, we were at district conference, and we were praying with somebody who couldn't grapple with the concept that God is here and he sees us. And we prayed some amazing stuff in and through her, and I text one of her friends, and I said, hey, listen, we just prayed with your friend. I want you to sit and listen and ask God what you want to say to her. Okay. 2 hours later, I call her up and I said, hey, did you get anything? And she's like, no, not really. I said, are you sure? I'm pretty sure God gave you some scripture or something. And she's like, well, actually, I thought about this verse. And I thought about this verse. And then I heard, you know, like this phrase, God sees her. And I said, can you just go ahead and text that to her? And so she texted to her, and then the girl we prayed with came running up to me, screaming, are you kidding me? The person I text had no idea what we had talked about in the prayer session. She had no idea what the Bible verses we read her were. She had no idea the phrases we used. But God prompted her friend with both of the Bible verses that we used and the phrase that we shared with her. That is a perfect example of how God is our intercessor. He knows who we are, where we are, and what we need. And as a church, we listen to him, like was talked about last week, we get a part in living that out. Only that, he assists us, he is our aid, he gives us strength to endure the stuff of life. He doesn't just come alongside as our cheerleader, as our legal aid or our assistant. He wants to be physically present in our life to help us endure the things that are set in front of us through this fallen world that we live in. Man, you can amen that. He does this all to help us keep the commands that Jesus gave to us. And we said when we were talking about we will love Nayak, that really you can break all the commands. Jesus himself broke all the commands that he gives down into two categories, loving God and loving others. All of them fall into those categories. All the things that Jesus says falls into these two categories, loving God and loving others. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in, he will speak to us all truth to help us, what? Respond in love back to God and love others. Some of us have work to do on the loving others part, especially in a vehicle. But he doesn't want it to just be words on a page. He wants to live it out in and through us. And I saw this quote this week. To say I really love Jesus, I just don't want him to tell me how to live my life, is a terrible misunderstanding of both Jesus and love to him. We can't go, man, Jesus, I love you, but I don't want to follow you if it means I have to love my neighbor. Or I don't want to follow you if it means life is going to be hard. Or I don't want to follow you if or but and fill in the dot, 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 dot. And he wants to teach us all things, all the things that we need to have that relationship with him. He wants to teach us, and he wants to remind us of everything that Jesus said. And then lastly, Jesus says to the disciples, my peace I leave with you, don't be afraid. And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside us through the words of Jesus to bring peace and to let us know that we have nothing to fear because he is with us. Now, this week, kind of a culmination of all these values that we've been percolating, that we've been talking to you about. We will love Nayak. We will listen to God. And this week, we will be changed. We will change the work of the Holy Spirit. Kind of came to fruition for me. Janet shared her story of how she has really asked the Lord to speak to her and to cause her to pray for people, and so that she does. And she makes up these little cards, and she made up some cards for Robert, and Robert gave me some of the cards this week. And so I was, last Sunday after church, I went to the grocery store to buy some food for our connection group, and I didn't want to be there. I just want to, like, I know it's really hard to understand this, but when you speak on behalf of God, there's this emotional, spiritual, physical draining thing that takes place. And so on Sunday afternoon, you just want to pass out, because it's. I wish I could explain it to you. I don't want you to feel it. I wish I could explain it to you. So I'm in the grocery store, and I just don't want to be there. And I'm picking up a few things, because then I'm going to go home and cook. And I get to the cash register. I've only got like 4 items on me. I just want to get out of here. And I can hear the cash register lady in front of me, and she's having a bad day. She's having a rough day, and she's trying to cheer herself up And so she's joking with the lady in front of her, and she's like giving the lady coupons that she didn't have. And she was just like trying, she was having a terrible day. And I'm overhearing this. And the flesh Jeff was like, all right, get in, get out. Just let's get in, let's get out. All right? Just buy your stuff and get out of here. And so I walk up and she goes, how are you doing? And so I said, I'm well. And she said, why are you well? And I'm like, I don't really want to have this conversation right now. And out of my mouth, unprompted by Jeff, comes, because I'm blessed. And she goes, blessed? That's a new one. What's that all about? She's like, I don't feel very blessed today. My life is terrible, and all these people are being nasty to me today, and my da, da, da. And she just starts going on, just puking her life all out on the grocery. And I'm like, I just want to buy some stuff and go home. I don't necessarily want to listen to your problems, love your neighbor. And I'm sitting and I'm listening to her. I'm going, man. And out of my mouth comes, man, I'm really sorry that's how your week has been. She's like, I said, I know, it's really hard. We're not being very nice to each other in America right now. We're not necessarily saying things that are kind and compassionate to one another. And you know what? And I reached into my back pocket, and I pulled out one of the cards that Robert gave me, and it says, smile and God bless you. That's it. Super simple, nothing on the back, just smile and God bless you. And I pulled it out of my pocket, and I handed it to her, and she stopped. And she looked at it, and her eyes got really big, and then she looked up at me with this huge smile on her face, and she goes, this is for me? I said, yeah, it's for you. And she goes, you just carry these around in your back pocket? I said, yeah, I do. And she goes, smile and God bless you. This is the nicest thing anybody's said to me all week. Anytime you want, please come to my register. And I was going, I don't want to. When we put on the eyes of Jesus and we see the people around us and we put ourselves in positions to listen to God because we believe he still speaks. He is not silent. He is still speaking. And we allow the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our guide for life, the one who prompts us and reminds us of the words of God so that we can see the word of God and see him in the lives of others. When we take those things and we begin to apply them to our lives, the people around us get changed and something happens to us too. We become more like Jesus. And that's what he wanted all along. And what's so amazing about the whole process is it's all prompted by him. All we have to do is respond and let him change us. And there is a thirsty world out those doors. And they're in desperate need of the best lemonade that this world has to offer. It really is good, I'm telling you. This is my question for you. Inside your bulletin, there is a little square piece of paper. And it says, I will let the Holy Spirit change me. If you don't have a bulletin, we have some in the back on the back table. I will let the Holy Spirit change me. Some of you this morning are in the place where you will allow the Holy Spirit to change you. This is good. I will do it. Some of you are in the place of desperation this morning, and you want to turn that period into an exclamation point. I want the Holy Spirit to change me. Oh, I so need him to change me. And some of us this morning need a little question mark to go over the top. I'll let the Holy Spirit change me? if we press into this value, and we do in fact own this, I will let the Holy Spirit change me. I promise. I promise that every change he initiates in you is good, whether we know it, can see it, or not. But it's our choice. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are so, so good. I thank you for dying for us. I thank you for giving your life for us so that we could be restored to the Father. And ultimately, Lord, we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that he is present with us. Lord, right now, I tell the enemy of our souls to shut your mouth. Enemy, you have no authority over any single person in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would remove the blocks or the barriers from our ears, our hearts, our eyes, from the things God wants us to see, to feel, and to hear this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would flood and invade every single one of us with what we need today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.